James chapter 1, the last verse of the chapter, says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Well, Francis and I have been involved in church planting missions for many years. And about 20 years ago, we added an additional part to our ministry, which we call Baptist Evangelism, and we called it CareLink International. For a lot of years, I was a little bit resistive to that. I said, no, we just need to do evangelism. We just need to, plant churches. But when we were working in Cuba, the Lord gave us an opportunity to be involved with different medical aspects of our ministry, and we saw that it was a tremendous opportunity for us and opened great doors of ministry into that country and others. And ever since then, I finally gave in to Francis, and we started doing these types of mercy ministries we call CareLink. Many of you know about the clinic that we had here in Jupiter for 9 years. And what a blessing that was as we were working with the immigrant community here with the Iglesia Bautista Ferro de Luz here in Jupiter. And we saw it really enabled us. And, there are some groups of people mentioned in the scriptures repeatedly that God's people are really supposed to be concerned about. And he mentions over and over again the widows and the orphans, he mentions the poor, he mentions the strangers. And to a great extent, our ministry and many of the churches that we've started have been in the inner cities working with the poor. Working with the immigrant population, as you know our church does here in Jupiter. And of course, since 2010, we've been caring for orphans, and now we have a new home we just opened up there in Blanchard, Haiti, in January. We just have 4 children there right now because we're just building on to it. In fact, I'll be over there 15th of December to see about some further work going on in that facility that we have there. But with this facility we're talking about in Guatemala, we think there's a great opportunity, and that's why we actually called this the Pure Religion Project. And so I think that God wants all of us to embrace something about this pure religion. I think that's why it's in the scripture. And James 1:27 speaks of that very thing. And so tonight I want to speak, it's going to be something short for you tonight, but I want to speak on the cost of pure religion. I'm not talking about the $90,000. I want to speak about the cost of pure religion. And the scripture says here in verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Father, take your word tonight and plant it in our hearts as you would desire to do that. And so we pray that you would bless us as we take these moments to look at the truth from your word and allow the Spirit of God to work in our hearts and lives to bring us to the place that you would have us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, there are some costs involved. And I just want to mention 3 costs that are involved, I believe, and mentioned in this text of Scripture and some of the verses surrounding it, for us to have pure religion. Now, pure religion, a lot of times people get hung up on this word religion. And they're like, we don't want a religion, we want a relationship. But, God mentions this in His Word, and I think there's something here for us to understand about it. Really, when you talk about pure religion, you're talking about the only kind of religion that God approves of. It's the only kind of religion that He approves of. And sometimes We have to find what the Scripture says positive about this, because we know there are a lot of false religions mentioned. We know there are a lot of false leaders and so forth and so on. But here, there is something positive mentioned about religion. In the previous verses, James has been speaking out about self-deceivers. So the first cost, I believe, in having pure religion is an undeceived life. An undeceived life. James speaks about those who were involved in their, and of course he knew very well about their ceremonies, about their deeds, their habits, and their rituals. But you know, that's not what God is looking for. He's not looking for that type of thing for us to call religion. God is looking for not just for service from our mouth, from the lips, but he's looking for the service of life. And there are many who are deceived. And the reason we get deceived, and the reason so many are deceived in our day and age, is because they're not in the Word of God. They don't know what the Bible says. Well, James 1:22 says, "Be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And so there are many people who, because of their ignorance of the Word of God, or because they will not accept and be taught by the Word of God, they've deceived themselves. And the Scripture says that. They're deceiving their own selves. And he says, "If any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man that he is." So there are many that are deceived, to the point that we know, for example, in the book of Proverbs chapter 14, the Bible says, "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So many are deceived when it comes to every issue that can be answered and understood and clarified by the Word of God. So it costs, if we're going to be involved in pure religion, the cost is that we need a life that is not deceived. Therefore, we have to get into the Word of God. When it mentions these two things here, or these things here in James chapter 1 and verse 27, we need to realize that everything to do with our life is open before God. There's nothing that we can hide. And I suppose that there were many people who were thinking that if they just, you know, could go to enough services or enough ceremonies or enough, be involved in enough rituals or certain things of that nature, that it would get them by. But these people are deceived. So what we have to do is have a confrontation with the Word of God. There are many people who come to our area there in Guatemala, and they say, "What is the main religion there in your area?" And many times they're trying to find out, you know, is it Catholic or is it some other religion, something like that. And you know, I said the biggest religion here is confusion. The main problem here is confusion, because people are not taught the Word of God. They do not have anyone going verse by verse through the Scriptures. They do not have anyone who is taught, even the leaders of these groups, and I know many of them. I have several on my prayer list, men that I love greatly, men who could be a great blessing if they would just break out of the confusion that they're in. But they have no training. And that's one of the reasons why we're involved in training those that we have an opportunity to train. And sometimes it's a slow and tedious process, and there are many, as I mentioned, ups and downs that cause these gray hairs. There are many things that go awry, and I'm on the phone every day when I'm not in their presence, and I'm talking to them. My wife jokes about it. She'll say, "How are the girls down in Guatemala?" And guys, if you're hearing this later, you know, I apologize ahead of time, but the reason she says that is because I have to treat them sometimes like teenage girls to get them to go in the direction that they need to go in. And believe me, it takes a lot of patience. But the thing that we have to do is try to help them stop deceiving themselves by studying the Word of God, not thinking about what they learned in the past or what they think they know, but get them into the Word of God and help them to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And looking into the perfect law of liberty and continuing therein, as verse 25 says, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So the cost is an undeceived life. Secondly, the cost is an unselfish heart. It's an unselfish heart. The scripture here says that we're to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Now, the scripture has a lot to say about, as I've already mentioned, about widows, orphans, strangers, the fatherless. And, for example, Jesus said in Matthew 25:40, the king shall... I'll back up a little bit in Matthew chapter 25. And Jesus was talking to these folks and telling them he had been hungered and thirsty, and I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked. You clothed me. And the righteous shall say, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw thee we sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. So Jesus was teaching the need, the cost of having unselfish hearts, to be giving, to be givers. Pure religion is something that is active and not passive. You know, it's very easy to sit back and say, yes, I'm a religious person. Yes, I'm a churchgoer. Yes, I'm a Christian. But it's all about involving yourself in serving and doing for others. Now, doing these things, the visiting the fatherless and the widows, is not the total sum of good that we can do. You know, Ephesians 2:10 says that we are ordained for good works, that we should all be involved, that there are good works for us to be involved in after our salvation, not to be saved, but in order to fulfill our salvation because of what we've done or what Christ has done for us, we want to do for others. But pure religion can lead us to a life of practical service. Now, look back just a little bit in this chapter look in the next chapter, James 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. And so it's all about leading a life of practical service. Now, James 1:27 only mentions these two, the fatherless and the widows, and yet they represent the most needy in our societies. And so throughout the scripture, God has always defended these and called on his people to do the same. He expresses of himself in Psalm 65, 68 in verse 5, that he's a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. In a verse I think Pastor used the other night, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. And so God mentions these issues over and over again that should affect our hearts unless we're selfish. And so the cost of being involved in pure religion is to have an unselfish heart. In Psalm 82, he talks about defending the poor and the fatherless, to do justice to the afflicted and the needy, to deliver the poor and the needy and rid them out of the hand of the wicked. And again, there are just multiple verses that speak about these issues that we're talking about tonight, which James describes, under inspiration, as pure religion. So here's the cost. Pure religion cost. There is a cost involved. And the cost is, first of all, an undeceived life. Secondly, an unselfish heart. And thirdly, I want to mention the cost is an unmistakable faith. An unmistakable faith. Notice in the last verse of this chapter, James 1 again, it says to keep himself unspotted from the world. I suppose one of our greatest challenges is in ministry is to help people who are tainted and spotted and broken and messed up in the world. Some of you know some of the guys that I work with. I had a guy show up the last several weeks ago when I was in Guatemala. His name is Edner. And Pastor or Brother Marcos told me, he said, I want you to meet this guy Edner. He feels like the Lord's calling him into the ministry. Now, I'll tell you, he's an ex-con. He was in jail. And when he was in jail, he got all kinds of tattoos all over him. And he said, Pastor Ron, you're not going to have a problem with him having these tattoos all over him. And I said, no, bring him on. You know, it's our job to try to help him. He's already got the spots of the world. Now we need to get working on the inside so he becomes unspotted by the things of the world in his heart and his life so that he can have an unmistakable faith. Many people looking at him and looking at others, you know, there are plenty out here, plenty of people who are trophies of God's grace that we will look down on at first sight and say, you know, why is that person coming into church? Or what does that person think they're doing? Or why does that person look like that? But there are people like that that God can use in a wonderful way if we will help them to grow in their faith so they have an unspotted faith, so that they are unspotted from the world. And so, you know, it's easy when we're pressing into the world of need to become part of the filthiness, and that's not what we want to be. But pure religion is a religion that leads to a holy life, the sanctification of one's self or setting apart. Others may have a faith or a belief system or a religion that fits in with the world around them, but God is looking for us to have the kind of testimony to all of those who are around us that cannot be discounted. And so I repeatedly tell our guys, look, you know, let people see the difference in your life. Be open to them and be a testimony. Why is that? Because, first of all, it's an imitation of God. He is holy, and He calls us to be holy. And so it's a big job to teach and to preach and to train and disciple and help people to become to the unspotted from the world that they've been living in for so long. The God who is the judge of the widows and the father of the fatherless is wanting the changes to take place in the lives of those people. Not to leave them where they are and not to leave them like they are, but to see a genuine change come into their life because they've been introduced to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God. And so this type of faith is one that loudly declares and vindicates us before a watching world. What does the Scripture say? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, it says, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And so, in conclusion, we need to realize that there is a cost to have pure religion. I pay a cost. You pay a cost. Everyone who's going to be involved in pure religion has to pay this cost. And I can't cover them all this evening by any stretch of the imagination. But what I can do is work with people and help them to understand that the Word of God can be followed and is the answer to a life that is no longer deceived, an undeceived life, an unselfish heart. You know, unfortunately, there are many who, they want to go, it doesn't matter how much they spend in one area of their life, but when it comes to spiritual things, they want to go cheap. They want to go easy. They want to go light. But there's a cost involved for pure religion, and that's an unselfish heart. And last, this unmistakable faith. We're out there doing what we can, using the tools God has given us, using the help, being the representative of people just like people here at Beacon Baptist Church and other churches that help us, so that we can help people have an unmistakable faith, so that when they go back into their homes, people say there's something different about you. The young man who's leading this work, Carlos Santos, he came to be a cook at our for one of our groups that came down. And he was trained as a professional chef in the capital of Guatemala. And so he came down because he needed money, and I was paying for the service of a cook there. He came, and within just a short time, he had trusted Christ as a Savior. And shortly after that, it was very quickly, but he said, "Pastor Ron, I want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism." And we baptized him. And so I thought, and I told him, I said, "Look, I can't pay you when there are no groups here, because the money I'm paying you comes from when the groups come and when they pay for their food and so forth." And he said, "I understand that." But he said, "You've got a dormitory there." He said, "Can I stay here? Because I want to learn the Word of God." And so he's not even been saved 2 years yet, but he's already leading this group and doing a terrific job, because he's been like a sponge, just growing and growing. And he has a ways to go, for sure. But thankfully, he is growing, and the Lord is using him in this ministry. Francis and I would like you to be involved in pure religion with us. And I just leave you with this question tonight. How is your religion? How is your religion? Empty, hollow, deceitful, selfish, unremarkable? But pure religion is what the world needs everywhere around this world. It's what Jesus wants us to follow, to have a life undeceived, an unselfish heart, and a radiant and vibrant and expressive faith in a world that's out of control, self-absorbed, and uncaring. And so tonight, let's reaffirm who we are and can be in Christ. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to highlight a little bit of our ministry tonight, what you're doing. Lord, we don't take any of the credit for it. It's all you. We're thankful that you use us. Thankful that you still bear with us. You're long-suffering. You're patient. Now, Lord, we pray that you'd help each of us do a little bit of introspection in our hearts tonight. By those things the Scripture has spoken so boldly about, pure religion and undefiled, Lord, help us that we might have this religion that pleases your heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.